faking it gets exhausting. Here, we keep it real.
What's up, you guys? And hope y'all are doing well. Thank you so much for listening to my show today. And if it's your first time here, welcome to the Curls and Courage podcast. I'm your host, Kinsley Meeks, mental health advocate, coach, and athlete, aiming to inspire you to reach your highest physical and mental potential. As always, today's episode is all about the dumbest mistakes that I made on my fitness journey, a part two, because apparently I had more bad ideas and beliefs than I thought. Just couldn't get it all in one episode. We're talking about things like rushing through training and why you're not seeing results, ignoring injuries, like, for example, why running on a broken hip is probably not the best way to become a D1 athlete, okay? Chasing unrealistic body composition goals and treating hormone balance like it's a simple checklist instead of, honestly, a full-on science experiment. But before we jump into part two of the dumbest mistakes I made on my fitness journey, I just want to give you guys a quick story time with a look into one of my nights here in the city just a couple of days ago, because this night honestly made me realize a big reflection that I, of course, wanted to share today, because y'all already know I like to keep it real and I like to stay connected with you all. Little bit of a backstory. If you don't already know about me totaling my car a while back, I shared this in a previous episode of Curls and Courage. That episode was titled, I Couldn't Walk, Then I Almost Died, Choosing Resilience Through Chaos. It was episode number 67. The title honestly was not clickbait at all. That's literally what happened. That was a terrible week in my life. But I try to, you know, give a little bit of a humorous approach, I guess. But if you haven't listened to that one, you definitely want to check it out. It does sound traumatic, and it was, again. But want to make sure you guys laugh and find some courage from this episode, which is what we're all about. So anyways, long story short, about 2 months ago, the reason I almost died is because I got into a terrible car accident, completely totaled my car. Let me just say, trying to find a new car over the past 2 months has been an absolute nightmare and extremely time consuming. I swear, this is like another full-time job. But in a positive manner, just this past weekend, after going to multiple car dealerships, negotiating with a ton of car dealers, doing a lot of research, a lot of follow-ups, and honestly just saying a lot of prayers, I finally got a car. And that shit is fly for real. I'm so excited. It's like an older model of a Subaru BRZ. It's like this electric blue color, sporty, small, honestly just perfect for my vibe. Like, I look at my car and I'm like, okay, like that's Kinsley right there, you know? But the only issue with this car is that it's stick shift. I'm slightly crazy for sure. I'm the only girl who would buy a car that she doesn't even know how to drive in Miami of all places, where you have bumper to bumper traffic, you have frustrated drivers, and you have zero parking like half the time. I ended up having the car dealership, one of the workers there, like drive my car 30 minutes back to my apartment, and that car was looking fly, but it was just sitting in my parking garage for a while, and so I learned how to drive it. So I've been practicing, right, throughout this past week, trying my best to prioritize driving stick shift. And in general, I'd say I'm a pretty quick learner. I do pick up on most things pretty easily, but my experience driving manual so far has been a different story. Driving and switching gears is pretty easy. But my main issue is coming to a complete stop and then having to go again, which obviously you do a lot of when you're driving, and especially in a city that has this insane amount of traffic. So for those of you who don't know anything about driving a manual transmission, you have to give the perfect amount of gas as you ease off of what's called the clutch in order to get the car moving properly. So you're driving with both feet, because again, you got your left foot on the clutch and you got your right foot, you know, that's controlling the gas and the brakes. And the thing about this is it has to be simultaneous. And for me, that's a problem, because I like going fast in everything that I do. I like walking fast. I like driving fast. I like talking fast, as some of y'all can probably tell in the podcast, but we're working on it. I like moving quickly, okay? You know, don't hate me for it. But the problem with this is almost every time I try to stop and go in my new whip, I keep coming off of the clutch too fast. And when this happens, the car will stall, which means it comes to a complete stop. And again, when you're in Miami and you have like a million people behind you trying to get somewhere with absolutely no patience, this becomes a major problem. Literally, like 2 days after trying to learn how to drive stick, my overconfident ass decides to take the car out alone in Brickell. Initially, my game plan was to just practice getting in and out of my apartment gate, to just take a quick drive again around the city, just in very familiar areas, you know, no more than 5 minutes away from my apartment, practice stopping and going at a few stop signs, and then head back home. So on this night, I start driving, okay? And I'm driving for like the first 3 minutes. Pretty good, I would say. But then I make a wrong turn and I end up putting myself in like 6 p.m. bumper to bumper traffic. I was stalling out literally every time I tried to stop and go. So it was just cars were honking at me. People were screaming at me, cursing at me. I could not get it together. Extremely frustrating situation. And this was low-key for me, extremely stressful and definitely not the vibe. I was only a few blocks away from my apartment and I did make it home safely. Like, praise God for real. I was praying multiple times during this experience. But anyways, all of this goes to say that's a new thing that I've been learning. And now that I'm starting to pick up on it, driving manual is actually fun and it makes me much more aware when I'm driving. Not only that, anyone who drives stick shift, you can relate, but it kind of makes you feel like a more superior being. Like, you're just so in tune with the car. It's fun. And we were straight whipping that hoe to the gym yesterday. So I'm definitely getting better with it. It's just taking me time and it's an adjustment, right? Anyways, don't want to bore you guys too much with this story. The moral of me telling you this is learning to drive stick shift forces you to slow down. It forces you to feel the rhythm and actually be present, even when everything inside of you just wants to go fast. This leads me into my first point of today's part two episode. Let's talk about a major mistake I made in my fitness journey. I used to think that going faster during training sessions would make me a better athlete. I didn't understand the importance of mind-to-muscle connection and actually activating specific muscle groups that I was trying to work and just making a conscious effort to hit that specific muscle as best as possible. I'm going to take you back to me when I was in my teenage years. I was heavy into cross country. And I remember our coach would have us, after we went on these insane runs, we would go to the weight room at our high school and we would have a list out of exercises that we were going to do, just how you do normal training, right? We would have a leg day, we would have an arm day, we would have a back day, whatever it may be. So for some reason, I don't even know where I got this from, just me moving quickly at all times, I would always get done first in my training. And that was like a sign that I was a champion. Like, I would be doing squats as fast as I can, up, down, up, down, up, down. I would take that heavy barbell loaded on my back and squat it up and down like 15 times in the span of like 8 seconds, just like super quickly. And I remember my coach would be telling me, Kinsley, like, you need to slow down. And I thought to myself, this guy is tripping. Like, I am not listening to him. But this is just not smart. Okay. And we'll get into why. Another example of me just moving too quickly that kind of relates to fitness is I started bodybuilding from a pretty young age. I mean, I'm young now. I'll be 24 next month. So I started bodybuilding when I was like 19, 20. And I thought I would turn pro like immediately. I remember making Instagram posts about it. My first national competition, I was like, I got this in the bag. Like, I'm going to be professional athlete at 20. Like, we're good to go. I was rushing the process so, so much. And I ended up at that first national show not placing well at all. I placed super low in second callouts. Wasn't even close to getting my pro card. I think I was like maybe 16th, 17th, something like that. And obviously to get your pro card, you have to be one or two. Okay. So just rushing the process. And the effect of this is, first off, when we bring it back to the training standpoint, if you're moving too quickly with your training, you're not going to see very good results, or you will see results much slower. You're going to get injured and you're just going to feel frustrated. Same thing. If you think you have this big goal in life, for me, it was bodybuilding turning pro, and I think I'm going to get it immediately. When I don't get it, I'm going to be mad. I'm going to be frustrated. At that specific show, when I didn't win, I was pissed. I will say, I went home. I canceled my trip. I booked a flight back and paid an extra like $300. I just wasn't having it. Okay. So you just can't think everything's going to come to you immediately and you have to learn to slow things down. You might be the type of person who moves quickly, who thinks fast, who wants results now. And that can be a strength at times, but in reality, sometimes the thing that you're trying to master won't really work unless you learn to sync up your timing and just be patient with the process and just learn to stop fighting it. You can't force the clutch, just like you can't force your growth within your muscles. You can't speed through your workout as fast as possible and expect to see results. The best results will come when you learn to train smart. Smart and hard, right? Slow down your reps, be intentional, and do everything in your power to truly feel that muscle working. Next, dumb mistake I made, and just honestly dumb thing that I used to believe. I used to think that pushing through injuries was a good idea. We just touched on injuries a little bit, right? Working too quickly can cause injuries. Not being smart about training is going to lead to injuries. Back to the old Kinsley one more time. Up until about 4 years ago, this is what I believed hands down. Pushing through injuries, again, made me superhuman. At the time, again, I was into strength training for sure, and I was passionate about fitness, but mostly what I did revolved around my career as a runner. I thought I was going to make this my professional career. I thought I was going to go out to California and run professionally. This did not happen, okay? But it's all right. What happened was I got injured all the time. I had a double knee injury that I would run on. I remember breaking my ankle on a run for the reason of my ankle was a little bit injured, but I knew that I had to go run a bunch of mileage that day. So I just kept running on my ankle until it literally broke. I get home, that shit is purple and blue. I go to the doctor the next day and it's broken in multiple places. But probably the most serious injury that really impacted my life the most was when I fractured my hip a couple of years ago. I think it was in 2020. This was just honestly the final straw because of how depressing this time in my life was. I remember watching my teammates just get better than me and do what I loved at the time. And of course, I couldn't run because my hip was fractured. But here's what I tried to do at the time. When I didn't know that my hip was fractured, I just knew it was hurting severely bad. What I decided to do was just push through. So I remember going to cheerleading practice, no problem, just taking a couple Advil, putting some Icy Hot on my hip. I could kind of push through a little bit because I didn't have to flip so much. I really just had to stand up and do the cheers, you know, move around a little bit. But I remember one afternoon I had cross country practice and we started that warm up. We were running around the baseball field. And I was on a broken hip, like I said at this time. So I'm like running and I'm limping so bad. And at this point, I'm like on the verge of tears. I mean, imagine your hip is almost split in half and you're running through that. And my coach ends up like calling me to the side. He's like, "What's wrong with you?" And I'm like, "I don't know. My hip is really hurting." He's like, "You need to stop running immediately. Like, this is not healthy. Like, you're compensating on that one side. This is just not going to work." So got a doctor's appointment, got an MRI. It turns out the hip was fractured and I thought I was going to actually have to have hip replacement at the time. It wasn't like an easy fracture. Like it was hard. It was very, very intense fracture. Was out of what I love to do for 6 months at least on crutches at school, I remember. Anyways, don't run on a broken hip. The main problem with pushing through injuries is that it usually makes the injury worse. Longer recovery times or even permanent damage. When you ignore pain and keep training or performing, even if it's something that you love, you're not giving your body the chance to heal properly, which can turn a minor issue into a chronic issue. It can mess with your biomechanics. It can create compensations that cause new injury in other places. Now, I don't want to go down on this topic too much, but I will say, you know, you got to be hard at times. You know, you have to push through. If you're feeling a little bit sick or maybe your elbow's hurting a little bit or maybe your knee's just not feeling the best one day, like you can still push through at times. Don't be a little bitch. But at the same time, if your hip is broken and your ankle is just in throbbing pain and you continue to run, that's not being smart. That's just being stupid. Okay. So truthfully, my advice to my younger self would be train hard and smart. Give your body time to heal. Don't think you're a better athlete just because you push through. Again, you're not a better athlete. You're just an athlete that's a little bit stubborn and not as intelligent. Number three for today. I used to think that having a six pack year round was the definition of being in shape. This belief is so common and I just can't stress the truth here enough. About 4 years ago, again, in the time of 2020, I was starting to become a personal trainer. And I went to a lot of different gyms in Alabama to try to get hired. Ended up being hired at a small local gym in the area that was not commercial. It was a great gym. I learned so much at this gym. But I remember seeing a girl. Her name was Natalie. And this girl was just shredded when I walked in the gym. She had on like a light purple crop top and these camo shorts. And I was just thinking to myself, like, damn, this girl looks crazy. At the time, I was very confident. I thought that I looked good. And I did. I was in shape, you know. But this girl, she was just on a new level. You know, ripped, like I said, six-pack abs, big booty, super lean legs, just broad shoulders, broad back, tiny waistline. And I just thought, again, this girl is in incredible shape. So what I decided to do was get like her. She actually inspired me to compete. And long story short, I competed about a year later after seeing this girl. I wanted to compete for multiple reasons. But again, I think what really inspired me was seeing a female have a body that was just so crazy. And I just knew it probably took so much work to get there. It was just so interesting to me. I started competing and did my first show in 2021. I gained a six pack and got super shredded. I'm talking about veins through my midsection, six pack abs. But here's the thing. I felt extremely weak, extremely tired, and extremely hungry 24/7. And I remember realizing, like, after that show and during that show too, I won't even say after, this was definitely not the most in shape I'd ever been in. In fact, it was probably a year before that when I could run 6 miles no problem, hit a backflip at any given moment, and deadlift like 225 pounds for working sets. Smooth as butter, I might add. I would just pick it up off the ground, throw it straight back down, and go again, okay? And this was hard for me to understand too at the time because I had so many people telling me, wow, like, Kinsley, you're so in shape. You look so good. I've never seen you this in shape. That was the word, in shape. But the effect was I was not in shape just because I had a six pack. I was dieting super hard. I was super weak, couldn't lift much at the gym at all. My strength was going down. My mental fatigue was there. My physical fatigue, as I mentioned, was there. Just was not feeling good. Okay. So just keep this in mind. Because you see someone who has a six pack, or if you have a six pack yourself and you're super lean, that's probably not the most healthy physique. It might just be one that you prefer. Now, here's what I do currently. I do like to stay pretty lean, and sometimes I'm cool with the side effects, to be honest, but I at least now understand that being lean, just lean as hell 24/7, is not an indication that I'm healthy. We need body fat to be healthy, especially as a female. Fats play a critical role in hormone production, especially estrogen, which is our main female sex hormone. And it's vital. This estrogen is vital for reproductive health, for bone density, and for overall hormone balance. So I like having abs, but I don't necessarily have to have veins through my stomach. And I like to be able to perform well too. Unless we talk about a competition prep, then it's, you know, end all be all. It's give the sacrifice. You're going to feel terrible, but you just got to push through. This brings me to my next false belief. We talk about hormones, right? In the past, I used to think that not having a period was normal. We're going to talk periods for a second here. I have probably struggled with irregular periods for my entire life, now that I think about it. I think part of the reason was because from a young age, I probably really messed up my reproductive system, my reproductive health, because my hormones were very messed up. This was because I didn't really have any knowledge when it came to training and nutrition. I also struggle with a pretty severe eating disorder. Would run, again, a crazy amount, 10 to 12 miles a day, and think eating like an orange was going to be enough calories to suffice for that. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about this later, but from a young age, the point I want to get across is my hormones were already not doing very well and I was missing periods. Once I got into bodybuilding a couple years later, although this was a choice that I made and I'm super happy, super grateful that I made this choice, it truthfully only made my hormones worse later down the road. Bodybuilding is an extreme sport and I love it and I'm totally okay with the sacrifices that I need to make. But when we do talk about its impact on female hormone health, it is rough. Because you are dieting your body down to the extreme, you're overtraining, you are doing a ton of cardio, but it's only short term. Okay. But in that short time frame, your hormones can be damaged, especially as a female, and everybody's body is going to respond differently to what you put it through. I always said to myself, well, I'm an athlete, so not having a period is just completely normal, but it's not. When you lose your period from not having correct hormone balance and overtraining and dieting so hard and overexercising this and that, you're going to come to some problems. For my guys out there listening, y'all have it easy. You don't even understand. The female body is complicated, okay? First off, hormonal imbalance. What happens is when you don't have this period regularly, a lot of times your hormones are not optimized. So this can be low estrogen, which a lot of times affects your mood, your energy, and just your overall health. There was a time in my life where literally all of my most important hormones were bottom out at zero, but that's another story. We talk about bone loss. You're missing periods. Estrogen is like an armor for us girls. It protects your bone density. So without it, bones weaken. This can increase the risk of osteopenia and osteoporosis, even at a young age in girls. This was another prime reason from a personal point of view why I broke so many bones when I was younger. I broke so many things, guys. My bones always hurt and I was literally in pain like 24/7. We talk about heart health risks. Estrogen also supports healthy cholesterol levels and blood vessels. So when you have low levels of estrogen, again, you're missing periods. This can lead to increased risk of heart disease over time. Never happened to me, not that I'm aware of, but still something I thought that you guys should know. And then the worst thing is when your hormones are not balanced, again, and just the period is a great indication of this, the effect on your mental state, the emotional effects of this is probably the worst thing. So for me personally, again, the physical side effects were one thing, but the mental and emotional side effects of not having the right hormone balance was the worst. When my hormones were completely bottomed out, it was honestly one of the most challenging times of my life. I'm talking heightened anxiety, extreme depression, brain fog, mood swings all the time. There were many moments during this specific time of my life where I didn't even want to be alive anymore. I would have a random emotional breakdowns, just be extremely sad, panic attacks over the smallest things, just had a hard time literally even going into Walmart, even going into the grocery store because my anxiety was just so bad. I couldn't explain it. And this was because of a culmination of a lot of things that I'm not going to get into. But I will say the hormonal issues played a huge role in why I was feeling this type of way. Not to mention fertility issues could also become a problem. When we talk about not having a period, this oftentimes means your body is not ovulating, which ovulation as a female is important. And if you don't have it, it can be difficult or impossible to get pregnant. Luckily for me on this one, we good, because the last thing I want to do right now is get pregnant at 23. But for real though, this could be an issue for me in the future. And it's just another solid reason why having a period is a strong sign of being a healthy female. It's not normal to not have a period for an extended period of time because of the reasons we talked about just a minute ago. It's not just a convenience, because we all know that time of the month sucks. I get it, okay? But it is a sign that something in your body is off. To me, it's worth talking to a specialist. If it's been, say, 3+ months and you still haven't had a period and you're not on any method of hormonal birth control. Last belief I want to finish with today, and let me just stay on the topic of hormones, because male or female, again, especially for my girls out there, hormonal balance really is essential when we talk about achieving the best physical and mental health. My past belief was I used to think that I could just fix all of my hormone issues naturally. When I was in my teenage years, I didn't really understand why even hormone optimization was important. I was just trying to live my life, you know, eating a few protein bars, running a few races, going to a few football games, seeing my friends, and just being a teenager. But the effect was, once I got in my 20s, as I touched on earlier, I could just feel my body shutting down. I could just visually see the negative changes in my body as well. Short version, I knew my body was off based on the way I was looking and feeling. Look-wise, I had super bad cystic acne on my chest, my back, and my face, oily skin, brittle hair. It would be super thin. I would brush that hair like one time in the shower, and a whole clump would come out. Again, we talk about the skin issues. My skin was super thin. It would bruise easily at the smallest thing. It would be like one of my homies would like try to give me a hug, and that shit was going to leave a bruise for like 2 weeks. Okay, they was hugging me too hard. Non-visual changes were the worst though, by far. Again, we talk about energy and sleep. I still have pretty bad insomnia, but when my hormones were not balanced at all, this was on a new level. I'm talking about a new level. Like literally, I would wake up 10 to 15 times per night and couldn't go back to sleep. We talk about mental health again. I was moody. I had chronic anxiety, depression, brain fog, super high stress, and honestly just lack of emotional regulation, which, for example, what this means is I would let even the smallest stressors just get to me or piss me off. Just imagine like someone tries you in the smallest way and you just start losing your mind. This was me. And again, keep in mind, normally I'm a pretty chill person. Not much really gets to me. But in my past, someone looked at me the wrong way, and it was like that look just hit different. Like they just challenged my entire existence on this planet Earth. Little did this person know they look at me the wrong way. They tried the wrong girl, and they just woke up a hormonal beast, okay? I'm being dramatic, but y'all get the point. On top of that, I just knew something was off because I had lack of interest in pretty much everything. People, food, movement, fun. It was just a hard no for me. Generally, again, I'm a pretty chill, pretty passionate person and very outgoing. So feeling this was really scary at the time. And I won't go into too much detail anymore. I can share all of this in another episode if you guys want the rundown. Believe me, there's plenty to talk about. But I try to be open and vulnerable about this because I'm sure at least one person out there listening can relate. And I promise you, things will get better, but you have to be willing to make a change. Which leads me back to my misbelief. I can fix all of my hormones naturally. No, you cannot always do this. While you can improve your hormone health from natural remedies, it just doesn't always work. Let me break it down for you. You want to start improving your hormones in the most natural way. You can dial in on nutrition, eat plenty of healthy fat, balance your blood sugar, stay away from processed foods. Add in key nutrients and vitamins and supplementation. I'm talking magnesium, omega-3, zinc is going to help you. You can prioritize your sleep best as you can. You can improve your gut health, manage your stress, and move your body the right way. But sometimes this just isn't enough. In my case, it wasn't. I was doing everything in my power that I could to be healthy, to be balanced, but nothing was working. And I said to myself, like, I'm in my 20s. No way in hell I need to go in HRT, hormone replacement therapy. But in reality, like, I did. All of the magnesium and ashwagandha in the world was not solving my problems. I ended up a couple of years ago going on hormone replacement therapy after consulting with my doctor. I was just feeling so bad that I would do anything to get a little bit of relief. I remember once I kind of heard about this and did some research and talked to a couple doctors, I ended up flying back home to Alabama on a last minute trip just for like one day to meet with this specific doctor and get the supplementation to get the hormone therapy I need to just manage my symptoms, to be able to feel more like me. And it took a lot of trial and error. And to be honest, I'm still working on my hormonal health. It's not great, but it's better. And going on a super, super low dose of hormone replacement therapy was a great decision for me. And it didn't come with any negative side effects that I'm aware of now, other than just, yeah, it's going to add a little bit of expense, but the expense is worth it. You know, you can't put a price tag on your health. That's something I'll always say. Health is wealth. Hormone replacement therapy, just for a little bit of insight for those of you who don't know, it really can be a very good thing. I think it gets a bad rap often, especially in females. But whether it's right for you or not just depends on your body and your symptoms. You know, I tried clean eating, movement, and meditating. Turns out my hormones, they just did not care, okay? You need the backup sometimes. You need the help and you need the medicine at times. And there's just nothing wrong with that, baby. All right. I think that's enough for today's topic. Let's just finish out this part two because I've had enough talking about my past dumb mistakes. I pray that you guys just learned something from this episode and please do not make the same mistakes that I did. Quick summary. First off, remember to slow the hell down. You're not winning gold medals for rushing through your workouts. Next, injuries are not a flex. You have to be smart about your training if you want to be in it for the long game and you want to see results. Abs, they don't mean shit if you hate your life, okay? Sure, the six-pack hits in photos, but if you're exhausted, cranky, and clenching your jaw through every social interaction, it's just not worth it. We gotta normalize bleeding also. Losing your period is not just part of the grind. It's your body filing a HR complaint, okay? If your hormones are screaming and your bones feel like glass, maybe let's not have a celebration for that. And then lastly, nature can't fix everything, babe. Sometimes no amount of salmon, deep breathing, and ashwagandha is going to balance your hormones. So please be smart about optimizing them so you just look and feel more like you. Thank you guys so much from the bottom of my heart for listening. And I hope you loved this episode. We're going to end today's show with a Q&A as always. And today's question is, what are a few of your favorite sportswear brands? Especially looking for good quality leggings that won't break my bank. I feel you, girl. I'm not trying to break my bank either. So a couple different brands that I really like. First off, I'm always experimenting with new brands. There's not like one particular brand that I live by and that I swear by. But when we talk about leggings and tops, okay, leggings and tops, sports bras, bodysuits, a big brand of mine that I've been loving and wearing a lot recently is called DiosaFit. It's a little bit of a smaller brand, but it's super affordable and the quality is amazing. And I will also say I'm someone who loves like bright colors. So they have some really pretty like cherry reds and electric blues and these really vibrant greens, like just cool colors that you can get with DiosaFit. So that's really fun. Another brand that I like is called Bonafide. When we talk about leggings specifically, this is a great brand. Reason being, Bonafide, the brand just has a way of making your booty look amazing. They have more of like a shapewear line, which just makes the booty look round. That's all I can say. It is a little bit more expensive than DiosaFit for sure and some other brands out there. I believe the leggings are anywhere from like $80 to $110 a pair, but they do have sales sometimes and the leggings really are worth it. They're going to help with your confidence in the gym for sure on leg day. And then also I do feel like the quality here is pretty good. So those two are good. Bombshell Sportswear is always one of my favorites. A little bit pricier, but you can't beat the quality. Prozies is another good one. Prozies is a brand that I actually work with and I get a couple products a month from them. And I'm not just saying this. I just love their design, to be honest. Their fits are really nice. The brand is also very comfortable in comparison to other brands, which I like. Just some cool open backs and cool like striped and designs and just cool material, I would say. That is a good brand. And lastly, Violet the Dress Code. I have a couple sports bras from there and a couple leggings as well that I do like. What I will do for you is I will leave the link to these specific brands in the show notes. I do have a couple different product links for Bonafide, for Prozies. So I will leave that if you guys want to get a discount and of course support me as well. Always trying to help out and got to make sure my girl's looking fly in the gym. Make sure I have a better workout. Thank you for that question. And if you guys do want to send in your questions for me to answer on the show or just to connect more for me to help you guys out, I like to keep them anonymous. Please feel free to shoot me a DM at any time. The best Instagram accounts for that are going to be at @yoitskenslow. That's at @yoitskenslow or at Curls and Courage Podcast on Instagram. I thank you guys so much for listening. And I just want to ask one more quick favor before we end today's show that would mean a lot to me. If you did like the show, again, be sure to follow those two accounts that I mentioned earlier. Rate and review the show wherever you listen to your podcast. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening now, just clicking that 5 stars and saying, hey, that show was pretty good. It would mean a lot to me in the comment section and the reviews. And then if you are interested in one-on-one coaching, the best way for that is just to shoot me an email. I am accepting new clients and I'm super passionate about what I do when it comes to helping you better your health, helping you better your wellness. So that email is kensleymeeksfit@gmail.com. That's kensleymeeksfit@gmail.com. Shoot me an email and we'll set up a consult to help you get those gains. Catch the podcast every Thursday, also at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time on WDJY 99.1 FM. That's on the radio, a radio show that I started working with a couple months back that I am loving. That's pretty much it though, you guys. And again, I appreciate the support so, so much. It really means a lot to me. I'll plan on talking to y'all next week. Until then, let's keep up the positive vibes as always. Prioritize your health. And if you drive stick like me, first off, that's awesome. Okay. You're badass, but keep that clutch foot steady too. Okay. Talk to y'all next Thursday. Appreciate y'all. Bye.